Hey, America.
Start distancing now.
This isn't our normal chipper kind of happy episode, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think this one's gonna be kind of a bummer. Derek, do we have like a sad version of the theme music? And welcome to a sad episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. And I'm not going to pretend like I have a joke on this one today. This is an episode I think we all kind of knew we would maybe eventually have to do, but not one that we had any desire to do or anything like that. If you're listening, I assume you have already heard, but the 2020 Eurovision Song Contest has been canceled due to public health concerns, like most other public gatherings over the last few weeks and for the coming months as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week. By the way, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha, and we are actually recording this from our separate Eurovision bunkers this time around. We are connected through the wonderful medium of technology, so you may hear a little bit of a difference in our voice quality, but the love is still there, even if we can't, you know, poke each other from across the table this week, or possibly next week, and maybe the week after that.
Yeah. Also note that we are down approximately one Danny. Danny is sick this week. He does not have COVID-19. He just has a pretty bad cold and wasn't able to join us for what is sure to be a lively, lively discussion. I'm going to do the plug the social media thing, get this out of the way really quick. If you enjoy the show, please check us out on Twitter. It's 12 Points USA, Facebook, 12 Points USA. Email us at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or 12pointsfromamerica.com as well. That has all the old episodes and some more info about us and possibly some other things too as we gear up for what is going to be a Eurovision off season like none other.
Huh.
Well, again, Eurovision's canceled, you guys.
Yeah.
This sucks.
It does. I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised. I'm saddened, of course, but this is sort of like, we kind of saw the train coming. It still hurts to get whacked by it when it comes down the tracks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was becoming increasingly clear that there was not going to be another option here, but that's still a punch in the gut a little bit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there were some pundits saying, oh, could they possibly just postpone it? Could they do this or that? Could they do this small studio? But I mean, honestly, we don't know when COVID-19 is really going to kind of let up. And considering that certain studios in certain countries might not necessarily be as strong, or, you know, have the same resources as other countries, it's not really a level playing field. And even if they were completely level playing fields, it still takes a lot of human power to make a stage production, even in a small studio, work. And in a time of the aforementioned social distancing, that's not quite tenable. So we can try to come up with other fantasy situations that could possibly have worked for this, but the EBU had to make the decision, and sadly it was to pull the plug for this year anyway. This doesn't mean that the Eurovision Song Contest is not coming back in 2021. People are already planning for it. We are already saying, hopefully it'll be Rotterdam. The network Avertros, the Dutch broadcaster, they're still totally in it. It just has to wait for a while.
Yeah, I can't imagine a scenario where this isn't in Rotterdam next year.
Right.
Outside of something just absurd that makes them unable to make that work. But I think we'll be in Rotterdam next year. We've seen the bid book. It was great.
Yeah, it's a great bid book. Take that, Maastricht.
Yeah.
Maastricht. Oh, yeah, Maastricht.
Yeah. See, we wouldn't have had any of these problems if they picked Maastricht. That's not true.
That's not true.
That is definitely not true.
I will say, like, if there's, I don't want to make light of the situation. This is a major, major public health crisis that is affecting all parts of the world. But the knowledge that this is happening in the Netherlands, and it's sad and it's incredibly unfortunate, but knowing that Italy came in second last year, how things would have been different if we had been looking at, say, Bologna or Rome 2020. Like, how much earlier would we have known that they were going to have to pull the plug? How it's incredibly sad either way, but the knowledge that, I don't know. Yeah. At this point, I'm just spitballing here. I don't have a thesis statement that I'm working on here.
Some of the FAQs that the EBU posted, these are on Eurovision.tv. and cover a lot of the things that people are asking. Well, why couldn't you just delay it to the summer or something like that? And there are a lot of reasons why that wasn't going to work. But they made a point that I hadn't considered, which was let's say they do just say, okay, we're going to hold it in Rotterdam. It's going to be the third weekend of September instead of May. Just move it forward 4 months. Suppose everything else besides that is entirely normal. Whoever wins now has four fewer months to get their stuff together to do 2021. And let's say one of the big favorites, Lithuania or Bulgaria, had won, that I mean,
it would have been a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That maybe a bit of a taller task for them than someplace like the Netherlands or like Germany or whatever.
Right, because a lot of the countries that we were talking about of being favorites to win were, generally speaking, countries that had never won Eurovision before. They didn't necessarily have a template in their back pocket of how to make this work. And in the case of a country like Iceland or Malta that didn't necessarily have a traditional venue easily available, it's a lot. The logistical necessities of the Eurovision Song Contest are huge, and honestly, doing it in the span of just under a calendar year, that's a massive push. But to do this all in 8 months, that would be a massive strain on a broadcaster, and it's incredibly unfair to put that on them.
Oh, yeah. It would be pretty frustrating to be Malta or Iceland or something like that to finally get this win, and then you have to scramble in a way that no one has ever had to do because of all this. So,
right, exactly.
We're as bummed out as all the other Euro fans out there, but this really was the right move, and that sucks.
It does. But you know what? There are things to look forward to. We have Junior Eurovision, hopefully, coming up that will be in Poland in November. Generally, it's November. We don't have the official dates on that, but we know that it will be somewhere in Poland, most likely Krakow. And hopefully, health will be a bit more back to normal by then. And we have Rotterdam to look forward to, hopefully, in 2021. And now they will have almost two full years to create what could be the biggest party Eurovision has ever seen. To get the logistics down pat, to get all of those questions taken care of. It could be incredible.
Makes you wonder what a country would do if they had 2 years of planning instead of just one.
Yeah.
And you see the last minute preparations that people do on the ground when you're there. They're still putting things together.
The paint was literally drying on the arena in Baku when we were there. It almost makes you wonder, like, if it was like the Olympics. Like, how far in advance do countries get bestowed in Olympic Games on them? Like, 6 years, something like that?
7 years, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Although LA 2028 got 11 years because of the deal that got worked out. But the standard is yeah, they get 7 years to get it all together. And the World Cup is fairly similar.
Mm.
It varies a little bit because they sometimes award more than one of those at once. So
True. Granted, those are larger events, multi-city, but, you know, still, 2 years for Eurovision. I mean, Rotterdam, they could do something truly, truly special. And the feeling of reunion and the feeling of returning to normalcy for next year, I'm honestly, it's bittersweet, but I'm excited already for 2021. And I kind of have to be, or else I'm going to cry.
The Euro Club in 2021 is going to be absolutely off the chain.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You'll be able to hear it from Brussels.
Yeah. There was another point I saw made. This wasn't with the EBU's paperwork or anything like that, but just noting that, like, even if they did try to press forward and get a Eurovision out in May, having a Euro Club would be about as bad of an idea in terms of public health as you could possibly have.
The only way to make it worse would be if everybody was naked.
That invites a lot of other problems.
If that's not what usually happens,
not in any Euro Clubs I've been to, anyway. Okay. But
I have been misinformed about what the Euro Club is like.
Well, just the number of people who get sick at regular Eurovisions. It seems like the number of times bad colds and flus go around in general anyway, with all these different people from all these different countries hanging out in a press center for hours and hours at a time, coming in contact with each other.
Yeah, I mean, Americans are very used to, when we meet somebody for the first time, it's, you know, a smile and a nod, a shake of the hand if we're being friendly. No, in Europe, it's full on, you know, cheek kisses, double cheek kisses, you know, certain countries it's the triple cheek kiss, big old hugs, you know. I get a cold almost every year when I'm out there.
Yeah, Austria, you were laid up for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Derek, you nursed me back to health after the Austrian death flu of 2015.
And gave you power hallucinogens in the form of cold medicine.
Oh, my God.
Still got it.
Those dreams still haunt me.
So among the other things that the EBU has kind of started to touch on, but haven't really answered because we just need more time to figure it out. In addition to where is it going to be? I feel like it's just going to be Rotterdam again. I don't know why
I
wouldn't.
I hope so.
Also, what's going to happen with the 2020 songs? And this is so unprecedented. I mean, this is the first year since Eurovision's inception that we're not going to have a Eurovision. So there really isn't a
precedent
set for this. And I know a lot of people are calling for locking the field now. Just, you know, it'll be Eurovision 2020 up to this point, and then, but it'll just be held in 2021. I don't know about that. And it's hard to know if the EBU is going to even allow any of these songs because they'll be more than a year old. But
right.
There are some artists that are pretty attached to these tunes that they've come up with, so I can understand where they're coming from as well.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, the general rule of the contest is anything submitted before September 1st of the previous year is, generally speaking, verboten. And a lot of the appeal of the songs at Eurovision is that they're new. They're fresh. They're not covers. They're not something we've heard before, generally speaking. It's, for us, having, at this point, in the case of Albania next year, almost a year and a half to have these songs rolling around in your head, you worry about staleness.
I think, and I noticed John Paul, friend from Insight, said, most people have never heard these songs. They won't know anything about them until they actually watch the show. So it won't really matter if it's that old, but at the same time...
But what about the
artist?
They
moved on. Yeah,
If you had told Francesco Gabbani that he was going to be doing promotional work for Occidentalis Karma for an additional year beyond the selection, when he wants to move forward with his career, he probably would have punched the gorilla and run away.
Rightfully so.
And that's not a euphemism.
Oh, that's not an expression in Italian, to punch the gorilla?
Punch the gorilla.
One artist that I think has really, or one country, I should say, not just the artist herself, that has really raised this desire to stick with the plan for 2020 is Bulgaria.
Victoria,
the singer, went on social media to talk a lot about how her song, Tears Getting Sober, is of immense personal significance, and that this is the song she wants to sing at Eurovision. It's a great song. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but then it's a year of promoting and a lot of your life being centered around this one song.
Mm.
The Bulgarian delegation on their Twitter account they seemed a bit more upset than the average country about this decision. They seemed very, very intent on this being the song and the time for the song and so on. And they seemed also very hopeful that they can just send Victoria and Tears Getting Sober in 2021.
And that's a question that the EBU, I think, is working out right now, whether a song can be thrown forward. Yeah. Again, these are all developing stories. I mean, by the time our podcast goes to air, they may have that clarified.
That's true. Yeah.
I think in the case of Bulgaria, they were the number one in the betting odds for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
That song clearly had a lot of momentum. Not a huge lead over the second and third place. I think they were at 12% and the other two were at 10%. But even still, they had an advantage going into it, and I'm sure they don't want to start completely over again.
Mm.
Given all the money they probably invested in staging, songwriting, costuming. I mean, all that stuff is probably mostly done at this point.
Yeah, almost certainly.
I mean,
almost
Cindy certainly posted on Twitter that she was going to release a video of the dance choreography they were going to do because she's like, well, we might as well. You're never going to see it otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are a couple of songs in particular that it bums me out that we are probably never going to see the staging. Unless the EBU says you can stick with what you've got and they choose to do so. But Cleopatra,
Oh God,
John is a real bummer presumably won't see. Same thing with Supergirl from Greece. I feel like there was some real staging potential there.
Chains on You, Armenia. That probably would have been very, very special. Considering that supposedly Sacha Jean-Baptiste was going to be working on the Armenian staging.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like those countries, given the option, would stick with it. Those all seem like songs that they invested a lot into and they wouldn't just walk away from, given the opportunity.
Yeah.
But we also have situations where there are certain countries that have already announced their plans for 2021. We know that Estonia will be doing another Eesti Laul, and I believe they have said if Uku Suviste, their representative for 2020, sends us a song, he'll automatically go into the semifinals. Like, he'll automatically be placed on the television screen. Hmm. He'll just get a fast pass through. We know that Sweden will hold Melody Festivalen again. I don't think they gave any sort of concessions to the Mamas. I think Christer Björkman, sort of the Svengali of Eurovision in Sweden, oh, it almost sounded like condolences to the Mamas that you're the only representative, you're the only winners of Melody Festival and not to go to Eurovision, and that Move will not be seen on a Eurovision stage, and how upset that was, which I think sends a message in itself. So we don't know if there is a sort of Uku Suviste clause for them as well. If they send another song, we'll get them through. Pass. Maybe. Who knows?
It's a wonder, just really quick on Melody Festival, because that's a bigger television event than Eurovision itself.
Yeah.
If they just send the Mamas again next year, then the question is, well, why have Melody Festival in to a certain degree if they already know who's going to Eurovision?
Right.
I saw a great suggestion, and this was just some guy online. Don't take this as a thing that's going to happen. Although if it does, it'd be great.
Way to go, some guy online.
Yeah.
Shout out to some guy online, friend of the show. The suggestion was basically get the last 24 or however many you can get Melfest winners and have them
there was that focus this year on Melody Festival and doing the sort of Hall of Fame setup this year. They were bringing back all of these legacy acts to kind of perform in medleys, and that could be a fun thing to do.
I don't even know how that would go. I'd imagine we'd have a super final between Heroes and Euphoria.
Oh, yeah.
Besides that, who knows? Robin Bengtsson falls on a treadmill and twists his ankle. And
there's our viral moment for 2021.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, it's a good question. Another thing I've seen is, I've seen this in a couple of different places. I haven't, read through the EBU bylaws or anything, so I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is or if this would apply. But supposedly there is something about not being allowed to perform 3 years in a row. Now, the Mamas performed in 2019. They were set to perform in 2020. Are they gonna be weird about? I can't imagine they would.
No, but, I think there's a really big difference between backing singer and front of the house. Two, honestly, tell that to Valentina Minetta and she'd laugh at you in Italian and say something on Facebook. I've never heard of this rule personally. I'm pretty sure we've had backing singers come multiple years in a row, and I don't think it's. I mean, honestly, people on Twitter, prove us wrong. If you happen to know what this clause is, I would love to see what this is. I think it'd be really interesting, but I've never heard of it.
I don't think this year would count as a performance or participation.
Oh yeah, that too, because I mean, did they perform at Eurovision 2020? No, because nobody did.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, and also that rule would also toss out Destiny for Malta.
Oh yeah,
if she was a backer last year. Same with Vassal for North Macedonia, who was a backer last year.
That's probably a non-issue then. Yeah. We have had
nobody puts Destiny in a corner.
We've heard from a few countries talking about more or less immediately announcing their plans to some degree for next year. Croatia said they are going to send Damir Kitso, who won Dora, and Greece said they will keep working with Stefania, which is cool with me. Netherlands sticking with Jonker McCroy, which is
well deserved. He deserves his moment, whether it's with Glow or not. He deserves his moment.
Spain, basically immediately within a half hour of the announcement, made a formal invitation for Blas Canto to come back, and he said see. So he'll be back. Ukraine confirmed that Go A will be back, which is super exciting.
I'm thrilled about that.
They were definitely one of my favorites in 2020 crowd. A lot of those are all songs I would be happy to hear come forward, but I would also be very intrigued to see what else they can come up with, especially for an artist like Goa or Jiangu, which could be anything.
But also considering that a lot of these artists, if they're doing an internal selection, oftentimes they'll have two or three songs in their repertoire that they're considering doing for this, that they could easily just say, okay, so you didn't go with song A, we've got song B. It's great, it just got maybe edged out by song A, or we have more time to work on something, or they might just start completely fresh and come up with something even better. Who knows? For some it'll of these really, artists... Sorry, go on.
Oh, no. I was just going to say it'll be interesting to see kind of how this plays out, because we're basically already in national selection season again. Not that there's going to be a big fire hose of stuff for the next 14 months.
Oh, God, I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah, that'd be weird. We're in uncharted territory. Also wrote a note, saw a handful of things this morning saying that Malta is going to bring back Destiny, but I have not seen an official source on this? I would say they would be insane not to.
Yeah, unless they are so absolutely married to the X Factor format that they're doing over there, that they did last year and this year, that they want to. But honestly, when you have an artist like Destiny who's willing to go to Eurovision
multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely. At that age, with that talent, no, send her. Send her.
I guess if they're really committed to the format, they should just let her win X Factor again. Do the double, back to back.
At this point, she could be a host or a coach on the X Factor, and she would just be just as experienced at age 17 as any of us.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. A few other interesting comments from a few artists here and there. Belgium, I guess Hooverphonic, said they would be interested in coming back specifically with a different song.
Nice. Okay.
I have a couple of thoughts about that. I wonder if their interest and openness about right away saying it will be a different song is in any way a reaction to
the reaction
that Hockney was received. Yeah, hard
could
to say.
Been.
And I guess this is just something we don't know, but Belgium switches between the two broadcasters every year. Are they going to just stick with the one that was supposed to have it this year, or is the other broadcast going to be like, ha ha ha, boy, that sucks for you, hashtag even numbered years?
No, I mean, honestly, this is a time, if an artist does decide to go again, that they could regroup, and they can kind of say, all right, what have we learned from the last go-round, and come back better than ever. When you have an artist like Hooverphonic who says, hey, we'll do this, I feel like you don't let that go too easy.
It might be. They might just go with the other broadcaster. I mean, they're a big enough band in Belgium that the invitation might just get extended.
That they are just a great unifier between the Belgian French speakers and the Belgian Flemish speakers.
So why not? They don't sing in either of those languages.
Yeah, true. They should just sing in German and confuse the hell out of everybody.
We also heard from our favorite composer, Samantha Tina, from Latvia. No word on what their plan is. Maybe bigger spray bottles, since the smaller ones clearly did not do enough for the world. But she did post a quick Instagram story, and I mean very, very, very quick, like 1.5 seconds, and of just three words, which was, we're still breathing.
Samantha.
I mean, it's a tough day for everyone, but her name is one that definitely came to mind for me because of the number of attempts she's had to get into Eurovision, and she finally got there with a song that was going to be very much talked about regardless of how you feel about it, and now it's just over. It's not going to happen. So I hope she gets another shot in some form or another, because I just feel really, really rough for her. And same with Upi Suviste from Estonia as well, especially because, you know, within minutes of the cancellation, there was already the announcement that was like, oh yeah, we're tossing that out and doing all this again. But you can try
start
again.
He could try again. They already said that they would give him a fast pass to the televised round. So
I'm sure
his story's not over yet.
I'm sure he'll take them up on that. I do wonder a little bit if Estonia felt like they had a potential winner on their hands, if they would have been quite so fast to say, oh no, we're just going to do SDLOL again. So,
I don't know.
I think they could see where they were just in popularity in the betting odds. I think if you were anywhere near the bottom, they're probably like, oof, Mel, let's go back and try again. Like, this just clearly wasn't catching.
And there's also the knowledge that in Estonia, Eesti Laul is big TV. Why would you relinquish a ratings giant in your country for this reason, you know? It's like Melody Festival, and they're not going to just, you know, not just going to let that slip away just to be nice to somebody.
It'd be like giving up the Donald Duck Christmas special for a year.
Oh, no, Kale Anka!
We're going to do the Peanuts Christmas special instead.
That's one of my favorite facts about Europe, the Donald Duck thing. Fantastic. So, yeah, there's a lot we don't know. What we do know is there's not going to be a Eurovision 2020. And
it sucks.
It sucks.
Let's be honest. But the thing is, it
kind of. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, just because the contest isn't happening, I know we have a little tiny bit of a delay. Just because the contest isn't happening, that doesn't mean these songs disappear. Just like just because your favorite didn't win in a national final, those songs disappear. You can take this moment and still continue to listen to these artists and their songs and their back catalogs and go and support them. Download their music, stream their music, buy their albums. This is the time when we as fans, both of Eurovision and of music as a whole, need to step our asses up and support these people. So for the folks who aren't coming back and seeing it at Eurovision 2021, honestly, they're missing out on what could potentially be a massively lucrative opportunity for them to get their names out to 200 million viewers, especially considering the growing media market here in the United States now that it's showing on Netflix, or it would have been showing on Netflix anyway. So this is the time when we need to support the artists that we say that we love. The folks, if you would have voted for them, tell a friend. You know, say, hey, check out this song from Lithuania, or, you know, listen to this song from Estonia, or, you know, this Portuguese song makes me feel something. Here, check it out. We, at this time, more than any time that I can remember, maybe since 9/11 personally, we need to come together. And that's both for our neighbors as well as these artists who are literally across the world. People need our support.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my rant.
We will get through this.
Yeah, of course we will.
And if we do it together, it's going to be a little bit easier for everyone, I think. I put together a little list of other things. If you're like us and are just really having a bad day today and might have a bad day tomorrow, maybe even beyond, because our favorite song contest is hitting pause for what could feel like a pretty long time. It's an extra year. In the grand scheme of things, I like to think, what's another year? But
how very Johnny Logan of you.
Well, I'm sure for a lot of people it's going to feel like a long time. So here are some things I am advising to all of our listeners and fans of Eurovision or of your favorite band whose tour was postponed or anything like that. Just some things to keep in mind. Number one, don't read the comments. This is really just rule number one of life, I think.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of people thinking they know better or putting their own interests so far ahead of what makes sense. And I can understand that. I can understand being so upset that you're not thinking 100% rationally and so on and so forth. Having said that, don't read the comments on videos, tweets, just anything. It's just bad. It's gross. It's not going to enhance your online experience at all.
Agreed.
Having said that, again, this kind of applies to everything, but it's especially true for a loss of something really important to you, like Eurovision, is that if you need to take time to grieve, let yourself do that. Give yourself some time to deal with it. It can be pretty unhealthy to kind of force yourself to just sort of step past something and not actually deal with it. So if this is really seriously affecting you, I don't think anyone's going to blame you if it is. Make sure that you're doing something about that and giving yourself time and space or whatever you need to make that better.
Yeah.
Because bottling it up is not going to help you. It's not going to help the people around you or anything like that. Like Sam said, support the artists. Sometime, I think it's towards the end of next week, Victoria, the artist from Bulgaria, is going forward with an online concert that had been planned. Keep an eye out for things like that with the artists you like, and tune into those, because they're really fun. It's a good way to have some degree of engagement with the artists, and the artists to engage with the fans. Independent musicians are not always awash with cold, hard cash, and this is a way to support them that way. We all love music, and musicians are going to need our support during this because they can't tour. You know, there's a lot of stuff that they normally do where a lot of that stability comes from that's just not going to be there. So check out Victoria's online concert. There is going to be, I'm thinking this may have already happened, but there were a handful of Swedish artists that were doing some sort of online concert. But I think there's going to be a lot of these.
Yeah, there are a bunch of Portuguese artists that are going to be doing one, I think, including, I feel like Claudia Pascoal is one of them, who sang Usher Ding a couple of years back, one of our favorites. Actually, I watched one of Salvador Sobral's concerts. He did a series. He was supposed to have an actual big concert, and they had to cut it back. And he ended up just doing a series of really cool jazz, low-key live streams. And it was still super intimate and super comfortable and super natural and... I mean, supernatural, not like supernatural. You can't fly or anything like that.
What?
I haven't Santana? Seen
it. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It was smooth, but it was, and it was great, and it was wonderful. And that's just another way that technology is just bringing us all together. And we kind of need that right now more than anything. So.
Yeah, that's a marvelous segue into the thing I was going to note is that...
That was not intentional.
Yeah, we can still hang out. We can virtually hang out. That's what the three of us are doing right now. Three of us plus Derek's cat, who is currently all up in his face. It's very adorable.
Hi, Aiko. Oh.
Shout out to Aiko, friend of the show. And also a shout out to our very good friend Ellie from ESC Insight, who put something together just today, a few hours ago, did a kind of a just Eurovision feelings party over Zoom. People were able to kind of talk about where they were at with things, how the day was going, how they were feeling, and then what song you might want to hear and share. Maybe a national final song that wasn't as well known, or just something that brings you comfort, can maybe bring comfort to other people. And I think about 30 people came to this little Zoom party that as it was going on, we coined the name Sequins and Denial for this little event. It was really
sorry, I missed it.
It was a very cool little thing, and a lot of us just kind of got to talk about how this sucks and how we're dealing with it. I requested Jacob Karlberg, and everyone liked it. A few people, I think Ellie included, were like, I totally missed this one. I'm helping.
You are.
It was really, really cool, and technologically speaking, it's not a super complicated thing. It was an easy thing to just kind of go into and see people and talk to each other, and it does suck that we can't meet face-to-face a whole lot right now. I mean, most of these people are in England and Ireland. I can't see them face-to-face anyway, but you know what I mean, that we have these ways to stay connected and to stay there for each other without being in the same room, and we got to be doing that a bunch.
Absolutely.
Sam, you and I are going to maybe do some online pub trivia that, again, normally you meet up, social activity, just can't do that right now, but there are other ways to make that happen. I've been doing some like Twitch streaming of some like Jackbox and other like party games so that I can connect with folks that way. And let's just do a lot of that. It's fun. It's really a way to feel like you're not just stuck in a
room. Apartment by yourself with the cat. Yeah. One of the most beautiful things about being a Eurovision stan is the fact that we have such an incredible community of people that are here. And, you know, I consider, you know, obviously you two and Danny, but the people from the Eurovision press that I've known over the years, but even just going on Eurovision Twitter, like people who I've never met before in my life and yet are brilliant and funny and insightful and just cool people who you know that you have something in common with them, even if you don't necessarily agree with them on everything. It's this vibrant global community that Eurovision has created. It's not something that we could ever really take for granted. And even though America has just a very, very small little smidgen of those people, to see it growing here is wonderful, but knowing that it's so huge all over the world, it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's great, and it's a big part of why I'm not feeling like the sky is falling right now.
Yeah, same.
A couple other things came to mind. I know I suddenly have 2 weeks of PTO that I don't know what I'm going to do with or when I'll even really be able to kind of consider it. But I've been thinking, and if you're in a position like me where you would be traveling to Europe to see Eurovision and now just don't really have any plans, is to maybe in the fall consider still going to some place that has been economically affected by all of this coronavirus stuff. And maybe that means just go to Rotterdam and do cool Rotterdam stuff and help them out, because they're taking a pretty big hit right now by not doing this. Again, not like they have much of a choice, but that's the situation. I'm looking at, if things are cleared out by late summer, early fall, then maybe I will finally check out Italy, because they're going to need all the help they can get. Sam suggested if I'm near Venice, I can I should check out, swing up to Ljubljana, because apparently it's awesome.
Yeah. It's lovely. Yeah,
very cool.
Lovely. So if you're in a position like I am, where all of a sudden you have a ton of Delta miles or whatever and nothing to do with them, think about where you can do some good if you want to continue to travel. Also, please make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Wash your hands.
Sing I'm a Lithuanian Basketball Player while washing your hands every time.
You see, the benefit is, one, you're doing it for the right amount of time, and two, if you sing it out loud, nobody is going to want to come near you.
Especially mm-hmm. when you do the don't be sad, do-do-do-do part.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah. That's the best part.
I have this big playlist of stuff from the 2020 Eurovision cycle, and it's like 50 songs long now, and
all of them are Lithuanian Basketball Player.
Well, at least one of them is, but it's great to have that on shuffle, and then you just hear that keyboard intro, and I just immediately start smiling. I know that song's ridiculous, and if you hate it, that's fine, whatever, but it brings me joy. Damn it.
Lithuania really screwed up not sending that one.
No, I think they did fine. I think they did fine by taking the group.
Best year Lithuania has ever had, bar none.
But it makes us look forward so much to what they will do in 2021. Whether it's bringing the route back, either with that song or with something else, they've got some great stuff in their back catalog. So you kind of guess that whatever they do, they'll be good. Or just continuing on with that trajectory with Pabudomis Nile, We Try It Again, which I guess is even more prescient than they expected it to be.
We Try Again. Again.
Pabudomis Nile Nauyo.
Yeah, exactly.
So, guys, what are we going to do with all of our time now?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to build the Lego Paris set that I got, 3 months ago. Oh, you mean for the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we are all in agreement that we want to highlight this set of songs. This really is a unique and fun and cool year of Eurovision songs. Now that we have the whole field, this is a really interesting group. So we're just going to go ahead and do some previews and some predictions as though we're still happening. Yeah.
Because we still have the knowledge that Danny has not seen or heard the vast majority of these songs. He was trying to keep himself fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
We will post screenshots of his face as he watches these videos.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea. Yeah, I will definitely be around on social media. I am hoping, I have a few ideas. I don't want to commit to anything super crazy, but some things I'd like to do on social media on 12pointsfromamerica.com. Just some things for people to enjoy while we kind of hibernate for the next 14 months until...
We've got a lot of spare time on our hands.
Yeah. This is so... I mean, Eurovision being momentarily gone is pretty surreal, but just everything is surreal.
So let's cling to the things that make us happy.
Yes, exactly. Like you're in and your cat.
No, she just wants food.
She's just like me.
They're just like our cats and celebrities.
All right. So again, folks, no matter what is going on in Rotterdam, when is going on in Rotterdam, we are still here for you. Feel free to hit us up, social media, 12 points USA, that's 12 points USA on Facebook and Twitter, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. I wanted to just give a quick shout out to somebody, Luke, I might be mispronouncing your name. You wrote us a really incredibly sweet email back in January, and it took us way too long to acknowledge the message. Just wanted to say personal shout out from us to you. Thank you, Vel. That was so, so kind of you. That letter is probably going to go on my wall. You know what she wrote. It was very, very kind, and we love you for it. So yes, Luke, friend of the show. So yeah, if you want to feed our egos as well, feel free to hit us up at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. And especially, like we said, we love to connect with other parts of this fan community, whether it's on social media or an email, or just if you see us at a trivia event, come up and say hi once we start going to those again.
Absolutely. Let's get to know each other a little bit so that when we all meet in Rotterdam, May of 2021, we can party like it's
2020.
Or 2020. Whatever. Like both. I fully expect 2 Eurovisions worth of partying. Rotterdam, don't let me down. Or one is fine. It's
1.5.
They should start. Yeah, they should start baking the Stroop waffles now.
Like Pac-Man, except with Stroop waffles.
Waka 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 waka.
That's what the postcards are going to be like. For the stage. The stage is just the one Stroop waffle.
Oh, man, you try to dance on it, your feet get all sticky.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine.
They have to warm the stage up on top of a giant cup of tea before anybody can do anything.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're getting a little loopy here.
We are. It's been an emotionally interesting day for the last...
day.
For the last couple of whiles. But folks at home, we love you. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. We will catch you on the next episode of 12 Points from America. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Derek.
And America, keep on listening.
Yeah, and keep on distancing as well. Now...
We're going to go home in the pancia gallerilla.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say that.
We're going to edit that out, right?
Don't be too sure.